She is a woman of many facets, multi-talented, multi-dimensional. She is a woman of swing running through her very veins. She is our own Maria Kina. She's been on stage and screen, performed before thousands. And she joins us now right here on the Hancock and Kelly Show. Maria Kina, welcome aboard.
Oh, man.
Wait till you hear what just happened to Maria.
If I blushed, I would be blushing right now, but I don't blush.
So you guys do this tune, right?
We do.
A little Glenn
very
Miller.
Very popular.
Do
what
a little Benny Goodman.
My glasses broke.
Her glasses
I got
broke
nervous
during
when
the introduction.
When
oh,
I heard
well.
You were saying such nice things.
Yes.
Oh, she's got swing running through her veins, and her glasses, apparently.
So, Maria, wait a minute. I'm going to have to do this because Hancock is already playing the music. And tell us, you're in the big band?
Yes, it's a 16-piece big band I have.
Really? What's it called?
No. See, Michael, this is why we do this.
Yes. What's it called?
The Knights of Swing.
The Knights of Swing?
Mm-hmm.
K-N-I-G-H-T?
With the K? Yes.
Wow. And how often do you all play?
Well, pretty much at least a couple times a month, private events, some public things. We haven't been doing anything public lately. John came out to see us with his father-in-law.
I did.
Yeah.
Back in the spring?
It was in the spring. March, April, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Where did you find 16 guys or people to participate in one band?
Well, let's put it this way. None of us do it for the money.
Uh-huh.
It's for the preservation of the music. Truly, it is. And I'm happy to say we have young people in the band.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, who love the music and want to make sure that it keeps on going. And that's the only way you can do it is if you keep young people.
Well, and you just don't see ensembles like that anymore. And they're expensive to maintain.
I can't get buddies together to get five of us to play basketball.
Right.
You get 16 people to show up with
and
instruments.
And good musicians, too, Michael. I mean, these are good musicians.
That's
the instrumentation is phenomenal. I remember when we went, you opened up with a Count Basie number called Little Darlin'.
That's right.
A great tune.
Yeah.
And where does your passion for big band come from?
Oh, my God. My mom.
Yeah?
My mom. You know, when everybody else was playing, I don't know, the Beatles or whatever, I was playing Dinah Washington. What a difference a day makes on her Victrola. So, yes, I definitely got it from her. She taught me all of it.
And what is it about the music that is so winsome for you?
You know, I sometimes I feel as though I lived in the wrong era.
Yeah,
maybe
me too.
I should have been back then.
Me too.
Because it was such a different time. The
yeah.
music was, you know, like you listen to the words to the songs, and it was about good, beautiful things and love and happiness and some sadness because it was during the war and, you know,
right.
the guys were gone. But I just think that music has stood such a test of time. I mean, like when you listen to a lot of those songs today, Little Darlin', does that sound like it's from 50 years ago?
No, it's a great tune.
No, and more than 50 years ago.
80 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So I just think that there's just a nostalgia to that music, and I think it's something that young people could love, but we don't expose them to it. There are no radio stations that play that kind of music. We don't have the respect for jazz music that we should in this country.
Amen to that, sister.
So so you say you play a couple times a month.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rehearse, too,
we do.
Right?
We rehearse, a couple times a month. And depending on how many gigs we have, we'll do more rehearsals.
Right.
And we're a regular band, too. We're not just like here, you know, a guy comes in here and there.
Right.
We've played together long time.
Do you play bars, concert halls, or private parties?
Yeah, both.
All.
If a bar can hold us, we'll be there.
Really?
16 of us, yes. We've been like little sardines on a stage.
Well, and
you've
got some dancers that follow you around.
Mm-hmm.
They go out there and cut a rug on the dance floor.
They're groupies.
Give us your website.
You got to go to Facebook. Yeah, it's Facebook. It's Knights of Swing.
The Knights of Swing.
Yeah.
K-N-I-G-H-T-S.
Yeah.
So
Swing.
We've got a regular listener on Monday evenings and a caller. He's become a friend of mine. We share a cigar together
Greg?
Every once in a while.
Oh.
Huh?
Who is it?
No, yeah, it's you just.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but I know who you're talking about.
Doug Flagg.
Yeah,
and he's a singer, and a drummer, and he said he would love to sing with you sometime.
Oh, how cool!
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, he's got great taste in cigars too.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, I was with Doug last week.
I'd like to have a cigar with him too.
Yeah,
cigar
I like cigars.
Person?
I could be. That's how I started smoking.
Really?
Yeah, I was a child, and
I don't get the cigar thing myself.
Oh, Michael,
I don't get it.
Oh,
it's. There's something relaxing in it.
It is.
But I feel like I have the taste in my mouth for like 3 days
afterwards.
That's
the point.
3 days?
That's the point.
You take that taste with you for that long?
Well, if you like the taste, there's nothing wrong with it.
Wrigley's gum.
You're the one that had me eating that swordfish the other night. I couldn't get that taste out of my mouth.
But the best, a lot of guys I play golf with.
Disinfect the grill.
Take cigars and chomp on them. Now, I have known several women in my life who like cigars, and I guess it's stereotypical, or, you know, I'm stereotyping by saying
Catherine Hanaway, the former Speaker of the House.
I was just going to mention her name.
Yeah. Really?
But I didn't know you were into a chomp.
I haven't done it in a long time, but I think it's kind of, there's just something really cool about it.
Yeah.
I don't know, when, you know, like when you see, like, the old detective movies, they all had a cigar hanging out of their mouth. I need one of those hats that says press in it.
So who is your favorite of the, it's hard to say. Wow. Do you have a favorite band from the swing era?
I'm going to go with Kenton.
Stan Kenton. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm a real Kenton head. Yeah. But I love Glenn Miller. Yeah. And like when somebody tells me to pick out a favorite song, I can't do it.
Right. Yeah, right.
Because then I'm like, oh yeah, but I love this one too.
All right, Tommy Dorsey?
Tommy Dorsey.
Hands down.
Not even
a close call.
Not even close.
Who did Sinatra sing with?
Oh, my gosh. Well, he started out with Harry James.
Harry James, that's right.
And then he went to Tommy Dorsey.
Yeah.
And then that's how he learned how to sing so well. He listened to Tommy play that trombone.
Yeah.
And then he picked up on it. And then from then, he got Tommy Dorsey to let him out of his contract. And he went out on his own.
Well, he didn't, but somebody did.
Well, I don't know that he had those connections back then.
He had friends.
So, I mean, it was, you know.
When did you start playing it? High school, college?
I never played. The band recruited me from the radio station that I was working at the time.
Are you a St. Louisan?
Uh-huh. Born and raised.
Where did you grow up?
St. Louis Hills.
Really? Where'd you go to high school?
Bishop DeBerg.
Is that right? I never knew all this stuff.
Well, this is why we do this, Michael. Because
this is fun.
Yeah, for all of you out there, you hear Maria Canna. She's giving reports on the police in St. Louis. She's reading the news at the top of the hour.
Pretty much the only thing to report on is what's going on.
You know, it was interesting. I was outside. When I came in tonight, Maria and I came in together, and there were two sirens that went by, neither one of which was a police car. There was a fire truck and an ambulance. But she's, you hear her report, but you don't get to know her. And this is the whole point of this segment.
Graduated
from
Bishop DeBerg 5 years ago.
There she was.
Yeah, right.
And then she got involved with the Knights of Swing.
And she's a singer. I mean, you've heard her sing at the Christmas shows.
I have heard her sing. She sang with Bill Reeker one night.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys sing to Johnny Cash, I Walk the Line or something?
No, I think that might have been Debbie. No, Colleen made me do a whole thing up there by myself, and it was a Sinatra song, a beautiful Christmas song that's not very well known. Oh my gosh! Do you remember it?
No, I can't remember.
It was old fashioned Christmas.
I had for dinner.
An old fashioned Christmas.
Old fashioned Christmas. Well, that was the name of the play that year.
Yes, right.
Well, there you have it.
Colleen was a unique soul.
Oh, I miss him.
I miss Kevin too.
I do too. But he unique guy.
Very unique.
When people say, "What is Kevin like?" I said, "Exactly like he sounds."
That's
on the
exactly
radio.
Right.
How long have you been in radio?
Yeah.
20.
Wow.
Going by 30
years.
And
where'd you start? Where was your first?
KDHX.
Is that right?
Oh.
Have you
I call it a nerd fight that's going on over there right now.
Are you following what's going on over there?
I am, yes.
So what's the deal?
I don't really know. I mean, I've even heard that they're going to look for some sort of union.
Ooh.
To unionize.
But they don't pay anybody, do they?
No, everybody's a volunteer over there.
How's that work? You're working for free and you're going to join a union?
That's like us.
Join the Hancock and Kelly union. Actually, we do get paid.
We do?
I think.
Well,
most of it goes to
the 1%
earnings tax.
And the parking. They charge me for parking. I park here once a week, and they charge me for parking.
It's the parking. That's where it goes. Oh, man.
So, they're having quite a fight over there. And, you know, for a while, I tried to keep up with it, and then I was like, I can't follow this.
No, and it's like it grows exponentially every day. There's another person that's out.
Well, my little bluegrass guy on Saturday morning, I like the bluegrass show over there. And, boy, he went off on it in the middle of the bluegrass.
Did he really?
Well, then he wasn't back the next week either, was he?
I don't know.
That was last Saturday, so we'll see.
I have a friend who listens to that show, too. Now, it all started with the guy over at the vinyl shop, right?
Vintage Vinyl.
Yeah, and it's gone from there, and I've had a hard time keeping up with it. I hope they figure it out eventually, because so many people love what that offers and know their particular shows they would listen to.
That's exactly right, and it's very eclectic and diverse, and you can't get that in commercial radio, let's face it. You know, you have 300 songs on one format that are pushed down your throat.
Well,
let me
tell you, as long as you got Matt Pajeski over here, you're liable to hear anything.
So were you playing the big band over at KDHX?
No, I went. You know what I did?
Wait a minute. You sing for a KDHX? You would go do free music and wouldn't play your love?
No, I went in and did news. and there was
she's
wire.
She's a newswoman.
I was, I was the morning news person.
See
there was no wire. There was no nothing. I had to get the Post-Dispatch and rewrite from the Post-Dispatch.
Right.
And, of course, credit them with everything. And then KXOK went all news and called me over, and that was it.
Good for you.
KXOK.
Mm-hmm. Remember All News 630?
Yes. I did a weekly appearance over there with Diane White.
Oh, my gosh.
For years.
She used to work in the mayor's office.
Yes. And
that
I also.
Diane White? Yes,
and the weather lady from Channel 5.
Channel 5.
First African-American woman.
She worked in the mayor's office, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same woman we're talking about.
We worked together at.
We're talking about the same woman.
I was talking.
It sounded like we were talking about two different women there. She did a lot.
She did a lot.
Because I ran a jazz station.
Yeah.
And
her son's a school principal now. And he and I were in the Boy Scouts together. In fact, he and I got the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge together back in the day.
Did you really?
Yeah. Me and Chip.
Right.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. So there you go, Diane White.
Wow.
Rest her soul. She was
God
great.
Bless her.
Wow. So you've been doing, when you first started, you got most of your news from the newspaper. Now, I mean, what's your main thing you follow? Is it the scanners? Is it the Twitter?
Oh, my gosh. It's all of it.
Is it?
I mean, like, of course, the crime stuff, unfortunately.
On the scanner,
you know, that's
right.
What you hear on the scanner.
And you really have kind of carved a niche here at KMOX as a crime reporter.
Yes.
I mean, you are into that police situation probably deeper than any other reporter in this town, and you get and know what's going on. I'm sure you're frustrated. I know as a journalist you can't share your frustration, but that's one of the most consequential stories in this city that we've seen in decades.
It is, because just take the 9/11 system alone. And the shortages there and the fear that people have when they call and don't get that answer. You know, back in the summer when we had the lady that was visiting from St. Louis and had the child that was having the seizure, I talked to her personally. What a horrifying experience.
Can you imagine?
Oh, no, I can't. That would just be terrifying to call and not hear somebody on that other line.
So you're here on Monday nights, typically?
You're going to see me Monday through Friday now.
Wow. Well, every Monday night at 9:05 Maria Kina, we're gonna plumb the depths a little deeper. Each and every week, it's Maria Kina. It's Hancock and Kelly. Late night, when we come back, Michael.
These are the good old days.
That's what he said.
Welcome back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly. We're going to take you all the way to 10 o'clock. Then what do you get, like the Best of Glover or something? Oh, my. The Best of Glover. Yeah. That'll be fun to tune
well,
in.
Well, it was a good show today. He had the rabbi.
I did, yeah. And he was in
Israel. In Jerusalem, yeah.
Yeah, that is worth listening to, so you're going to want to stick around for that. Listen, Hancock and Kelly, we are on every Friday morning starting at 8:30-something. We join the Total Information crew in the morning, kind of do a preview of what our show is going to be. We talk politics. We take you all the way to 11 o'clock. We join Amy and Chris during that time.
We do.
Friday's a fun day. Don't forget you can see Hancock and Kelly on television, too, on Fox 2 in St. Louis at 8:30 in the morning. We're joined by Andy Banker over there.
We are.
Andy's a good dude. And John, do you ever heard the expression, these are the good old days?
I have.
You know, it's
or
hard.
Those were the good
or
old
those
days.
Are the good
That's
old days.
That's typically
yeah.
the way it's used. Those
but
were
you,
the good old
you,
days.
You know, you hear that, and in today's world, man, things are crazy.
They
right?
are crazy.
We're watching what's happening in Israel and Ukraine. Even just in our own body politic, people are fighting about books at local school boards, and we've got homeless encampments that are being overturned and you
City
know
Hall.
Closed down at City Hall.
A little tense we've at City got, Hall. People pooping on the side of the
senators building. And congresspeople out there tweeting inappropriate and wrong things. We've got former presidents of the United States threatening to kill the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I mean, it is a wild time. And you often hear, you know, well, back in the good old days, you know, I'm going to make the case as to why we're living in the good old
you
days.
You believe we are in the good old days right
well,
now.
I don't know that I believe it, but I'm going to try to make the case
right.
for it. And
right.
that, you know,
go
listen,
right ahead.
My grandparents who lived in St. Louis didn't have air conditioning.
Right.
They had the same temperatures that we're dealing with now. That
did
were 100
they?
Degrees.
I thought you people.
Well,
think
it's gotten worse, and it's been more sustainable. Oh. But at the end of the day, you know, it sustains over a longer period of time. But at the end of the day, you know, we've got air conditioning. That's pretty cool. When
it
you
is.
And I grew up,
mm-hmm.
you, I think, had a phone number that was like, you know, a word and two loud numbers.
Jackson 28450.
Right. And, you know, I grew up, you went over and you grabbed the long cord and you'd take your finger and rotary dial it. And now your phone's in your pocket. Right now you could pull your phone out, order your prescription if your prescription's due. Maybe you could schedule something to watch on your television.
Call George Ann, I could
you
tell it.
You could tell it. Hey, speaking of the television, back in the day, I mean, what? You used to have to, the test pattern would go and they'd run the national anthem at 10:30 at night, or, you know, 11 o'clock at night.
Later than that.
Now you've got literally all this content at your hands and at your feet. I mean, I think about my poor grandfather who had a stroke when he was 50 and spent almost the remainder of his life, the remaining 20 years of his life, disabled with his entire left side of his body was paralyzed.
Mm.
And so he couldn't work. He was disabled. But he sat in a couch and he watched television. And, or not a couch, a chair. And a Cardinal fan listened to him on the radio.
Yeah.
And then, if you remember, they used to rebroadcast the Cardinal games on Channel 11, sometimes late at night.
No.
You watch them, but you watch the same baseball game two and three times. Now you literally can watch somebody play football, you know, at 8 in the morning and until midnight. You can watch them play some type of rugby over in Australia if you want. These are the good old days. I mean, if you think about it.
Well, I mean,
we are living in the good old days.
I mean, watching Australia for rugby, I mean, I can't think of anything better.
But the access to content, I think you get it. I mean, we're talking to a guy who watches the most obscure sport in the world on his phone, snooker.
Snooker's not obscure.
But, John, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to access that content in the United States. Mm. These are the good old days.
By the way,
you're living in the good old days.
I was outraged this morning.
Why?
Well, the Wuhan Open is going on.
Did you not like my case I made for the good old days? Can you just say, you know what, Kel? You're right.
You're right.
Okay.
Okay. So the Wuhan Open is going on.
That's where the virus came from.
That's where the virus started.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The Wuhan lab that Anthony Fauci funded.
But stop it. Don't be that clown. You were going to be that guy? Okay, Josh Hawley, go ahead.
And so I've got this great new website that tells me what time the games start St. Louis time.
Oh, nice.
Yes, because I was having to figure out, you know, okay, in Wuhan it's 12 or whatever it is. And, you know, England it's 6 hours ahead of us and all of that. So now I've got it. So right there it says, I looked at it yesterday, and it says Ronnie O'Sullivan, the greatest snooker player of all time. He's playing at 6:30 a.m.
By the way, this is a guy who makes fun of Australian football, who's telling us about
he's
a guy
playing
named
at 6:30 a.m. Monday today, Monday morning.
Okay, yeah.
So I didn't have an early meeting or anything this morning, so I set the old alarm for 6:25.
Yeah.
And
did you watch it in bed?
It rang, it went up, and I got on my little matchroom.live. Which is how you access snooker from anywhere in the world, Michael.
Okay.
$4.95 a month, I pay.
The good
for
old days.
$4.95.
Think about that.
Yes. And except on my phone, you got to type in, you know, my email address, which is too long.
Yeah.
And then I got to remember what password did I use for that. I can type in the password. And then because it's chunking along, it takes it a long time to load up because it's, you know, coming over from wherever.
Right.
So these tournaments, they've got four tables in the hall.
Okay.
Table 1, 2, 3, and 4. So there's games going on all four tables. Matchroom only covers one table.
Okay.
Which is fine because
but they don't cover Ronnie?
Whenever Ronnie O'Sullivan's playing, he is on table 1.
That's like Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan playing, right?
It's in the
and
Bible.
And they didn't cover him.
No. I turn it on. And they've got Ding Junwei.
Oh, that's who Taylor Swift went to go watch.
Ding Junwei, who's a fine player.
Yeah.
But he's not Ronnie O'Sullivan.
No.
And Ding is playing somebody else. I don't know who he was. But I guess because Ding's from China, they think everybody wants to see Ding. I didn't want to see Ding. I wanted to see Ronnie O'Sullivan. And couldn't see it.
What do you think Ding's buddies call him?
Ding.
Ding-a-ling. What's up, Ding-a-ling? Don't you think when they see him?
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, like, come on, his name's Ding.
You know, they busted
Ding.
they busted 8 or 10 Chinese players last year for fixing snooker matches. Uh-huh. Kicked them out of the league.
Can you imagine?
And Ding, who's apparently just the model of integrity, uh-huh. was not among them. So
now,
so that's
now snooker,
credit to
you
him.
Know, the Brits bet on everything. Can you bet on snooker?
Oh,
are they bet
yes,
on snooker
heck yeah,
over there?
Heck yeah.
Yeah,
it's big time. All the tournaments are sponsored by betting companies now.
Are they?
Bet Victor, Bet Fred. They've got all of them.
Yeah. Now, I just want you to remember that you just went on a 2-minute story about some sport that most of us never heard of, making fun of me for saying,
well, who would want to watch football in Australia? Well, nobody.
Right. Who would want to watch a bunch of Brits play pool?
It's not pool, Michael. It's snooker.
Snooker.
And snooker is to pool as chess is to checkers.
But yeah, but you know what? I don't want to watch chess or checkers either.
Okay, fine.
I don't mind playing...
The drama of the snooker, though.
I don't mind playing snooker with you, but watching it after a while,
massive
I'm like...
Drama. Massive drama.
Tell the truth. You're taking an online course, aren't you? Related to snooker.
I haven't started.
No, tell the truth.
I haven't started.
Okay. You own an online course.
I subscribe to the Rocket Method.
Yeah, and so you're learning how to properly play snooker from
As
who?
Ronnie O'Sullivan.
So is it like a 10-week course?
It's a 10, I think 10 or 12
hour
sessions.
Hour-long sessions?
Oh, they're longer than that. But I haven't started yet, so.
Don't you think that's a little weird?
No.
No.
Oh, self-improvement, Michael.
Isn't this awesome? The good old days. You're living in the good old days, and the fact that some Irishman has conned you out of a bunch of money.
Irish.
Yeah, he is. O'Sullivan?
Well, he's English.
Well, he's an Irishman. He's half Irishman. Italian.
His mother's Italian.
Oh, really? Well, you can't be perfect.
Ronald Antonio O'Sullivan.
All right, so, but this guy's conned you out of, what did you pay for an episode?
$10? In that ballpark.
Yeah, so you're paying $10 an episode for a guy in Britain to give you his thoughts on
supposedly
how to play,
it's very
snooker.
Professionally produced.
These are the good old days, man.
Stephen McManus is co-hosting it with him.
Stephen McManus?
Yeah, great. Another, you know, not Ronnie, but he's a snooker player. But I digress, Michael, because you were saying these are the good old days. I think you're correct, I guess. I don't know.
What are we
talking about when we return? Oh, you are going out of town.
Yes, I'm going to tell you where I'm headed after this on the Mighty Mighty Mox.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
My single friend is leaving town. Hard to believe.
I'm headed to Vegas.
You're going to Vegas.
Michael
Kelly is going, and you're departing...
Tomorrow morning, 8:30.
8:30.
Non-stop flight on Southwest Airlines.
Right straight into Las Vegas International.
Right into McCarran Airport.
McCarran. Named after...
I don't know.
McCarran.
Yeah, that was named after McCarran. Yeah. But I don't know what his role was in Vegas, why they named it after him.
Well, he was a big aviation pioneer there.
You've never been to Vegas?
Never been to Vegas.
PJ, you ever been to Vegas?
Never been.
So I've probably been to Vegas. Well, during the presidential campaign, I was there a bunch. So I've seen Vegas, you know? Mm-hmm. I've not been
You've
there.
Seen every place. Are you, what are you
I
talking
really
about?
Have, yeah. So I'm going out to Las Vegas, and I'm going to a new thing called the Sphere.
No, now, you're going to the Sphere.
You've heard of the Sphere.
You are going to the Sphere.
Yes. Have you heard about the Sphere?
I've heard about this. It's a big ball.
Yeah, so the Sphere is a I want to give it this way. It cost $2.3 billion to build.
A $2 billion sphere.
Yeah, it is an 18,000-seat stadium.
Okay.
It goes almost 400 feet in the air. It
400 looks like, feet in the air.
You're familiar with the Epcot ball?
I am.
From the outside, it looks like the Epcot ball, terms of it.
Yeah.
But it's all movie screen, or it's all digital screens on the outside, so they can make the sphere look like the Earth. They can make the sphere look like an emoji, like a yellow-faced, you know, smiley
Anything
face.
That's round.
Anything. Well, it doesn't even have to be round. Tonight, Monday Night Football is happening in Las Vegas, and they put the Monday Night Football logo on the sphere.
Well, which is
but
round.
It's Madison Square Garden out of New York City's who built it, and they just opened it.
Yeah.
And for the first 3 months, the group that's opening it is U2, which
every night or whatever they're
every
doing.
Every day. Yeah, I think they do it 3 times a week.
But they're the only show at the Sphere.
Only show at the Sphere from October till almost Christmas time.
Wow.
U2's going to be there. They're playing their Octoon Baby album, all that, plus other songs.
Octoon.
Yeah, it was a 1992 release.
Is it Octoon?
Well, no, it's Octoon Baby. That's what everybody calls it. Now, you may feel differently, but they call it Octoon. And
A-U, right? A-U-C-H-T-U-N-G?
Octoon Baby, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, are you going to give us a... Well, hold on, Mr. Interpreter.
Well, it's Octoon.
Okay, well, I'll try that tomorrow in front of all the U2 fans. Spit on them like you just did all over the...
Hello, Octoon. Thank you.
Octoon.
Thank you.
So I said it like an American would. Octoon Baby.
Thank you. I met Pajeski. He's the best that ever lived.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going out there to the Sphere. I'm going to see you too.
You too.
Yeah.
At the Sphere.
I'm talking to two people who can't fully appreciate this.
Oh, no, I do.
No, you don't. You're over here tooling on me.
No, I'm just telling you how to pronounce, what's that word again, RPG?
Well, I lost it.
It's Octoon Baby.
Yeah, right.
Octoon Baby.
You're close. Yeah.
That's what they call it.
So they're doing that album. And all the great songs are on that album.
Well,
you got
we're
the,
one, but we're not the same.
We're not the same. The you got that's on there. You got
everything's on there. Zoo Station. Listen, it's what sent them into another stratosphere. But I'm so excited to be going.
Still
to
haven't found what I'm looking for.
Right. And
it's on that
opening
album.
Night. Listen to who was there.
Who?
Paul McCartney was
Paul
there.
Paul McCartney.
Tom Brady was there.
Tom Brady.
Shaquille O'Neal was there.
Now, does he have to buy two seats?
I would think.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen that man's shoe?
I'm not.
So I have a client here in town. I go to his office.
Yeah.
And in the table in his office that we sit and have our conversations, he's got a Shaquille O'Neal shoe sitting on the table. It's in a little glass box.
I would hope so.
It's signed by Shaquille
O'Neal.
Wouldn't
want to be sniffing on that thing. Right?
No, well, I don't think it was ever worn by
him. Oh, he didn't wear the shoe.
It was signed
on. He signed the shoe, but didn't wear the shoe.
John, I'm telling you, it's bigger than my arm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bigger than my arm.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how large this man's foot is.
Wow.
And it just makes you wonder, like, you know, so many things about him. Well, how did he ever get shoes? Like, when he was growing up, do you think they had to sew special shoes for him?
Oh, probably.
I mean, he's Shaquille O'Neal now.
It's like Robert Wadlow.
Huh? The guy over in Alton?
Yes.
Yeah. How tall did he wind up being?
8'11".
Is that right?
Yeah. You knew about Robert Wadlow, didn't you, PJ?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Have you ever been over to his museum have here?
I'm not.
No. How do you know so much about Robert Wadlow?
Well, he's in that book.
Would he have been living the same time that your ragtime guy?
No. He was much more contemporary. I want to say Wadlow was around in the 40s and 50s.
Died in 1940.
1940, there you go.
Yeah. He was the world's tallest man.
He was.
From Alton, Illinois.
The Alton Giant.
I don't know that the Alton Giant.
It's what they called him.
I don't think that his shoe was as big as
I think it was
Shaquille O'Neal's. Let's find out whose shoe was bigger, Shaquille O'Neal
or it's Robert Wadlow.
I don't know that that's
the
case.
It was a size 23 and a half, I think.
Well, I think that's what Shaquille made.
No, he's an 18. No.
Shaquille O'Neal is not. I'm a 13.
You're a 13?
I'm a 13. There's here we go.
All right, Shaquille O'Neal's foots or his shoe size, 22.
22. Uh-huh.
All right. Robert Wadlow's shoe size, 37.
37, thank you.
Oh, my gosh, that's a ski.
Yeah, no, it's big.
I mean, literally, you could put babies inside of that. I looked at this shoe of Shaquille O'Neal sitting on this table, and you literally could have put in a newborn inside of this shoe.
But why would you do that?
No, I'm just trying to give you some scope of size. Right. I was trying to give you some scope of size.
All of this is to say he's probably buying two seats at the Sphere.
You think he is?
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
I know Orlando Pace.
I don't even think people would care about the Sphere.
Orlando Pace used to buy a whole row on Southwest.
Did he?
Yeah, because, you know, I was flying to Columbus, Ohio and back every week.
Uh-huh.
And Orlando Pace, you know, is from Columbus, Ohio. And of course, St. Louis. Yeah, uh-huh. He played for the Ohio State University. It was first-round draft choice by the St. Louis Rams. So he was often on my flight. Nice guy. But he would buy the whole row.
And then what, throw his leg out over the
Or just
the
do
other
whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Now, on Southwest, did he have to be 8, 25, 26, and 27 to be able to say, these are my seats?
Yeah. Well, no, he bought three seats.
Yeah, but who was going to argue with him? Be like, hey, sir, I'm going to sit there. And by the way, who would want to sit next to him? Because on Southwest, you get stuffed in. No, it has nothing to do with him. He's a large man. I'm a large man.
Yeah.
Not nearly as large as him. But
right.
I mean, we sit there, Pajeski couldn't even fit between us.
No. But, I mean, I'd take the aisle seat if he wants the window in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'd have a lovely chat with the guy.
Really?
He bought three tickets, and that's how he
Good for
flew.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought about that. I would be interested in how that works. So, because you know, I'm on Southwest tomorrow. All right. I paid the early bird fee. Do you pay the early bird fee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be in the C group coming size.
No.
You don't get as many dirty looks of doing anything in your life than walking on that plane at the end of the line being a big guy.
Now, let me ask.
I mean, people are looking at you like, you know, death in their eyes.
Right. But here's where I have self-esteem issues on Southwest. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this ever happens to you. They tell you at the very beginning, you and I pay the early bird, so we're getting on early, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
I'm usually in that first 10 to 15 rows.
First, you know? Four or five.
Yeah, I like to be right up front,
yeah.
You know, and because then I get off and I just roll.
You're done, time. Yeah.
But so there you are, you're getting it. They announce it's going to be a full flight, so they're going to be. So now you're getting down to those last 20 or so people coming
in.
Yeah,
yeah.
I always want the pretty girl or, you know, the real small person.
Sure.
And when they kind of look at me and move on to go to the back of the bus.
Well, you're playing it wrong, Michael.
Okay. How do I know?
The flight's never actually full.
Okay.
They tell you it's full.
Oh, it's a lie.
They lie to you.
Okay.
There's always going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 open seats.
Really?
But they tell you it's full, so they want people to sit down as quickly as possible when they get on.
Ah.
So if you're in one of the front rows, you have to either be very fortunate on your seatmate recruitment.
Okay.
You're putting the move on, whatever you're doing.
Well, I try.
I can't do
it. I wink or I smile or
but,
I.
Yeah, but
hey,
you're large and I'm large.
Yeah, we're both large.
So what I do is I find the fattest person I can that's sitting on the window. And I sit down on the aisle, and then as that plane is loading up, I turn into a puffer fish.
You swallow more air?
I just get bigger and bigger and
bigger.
You throw
those legs open?
I get at least three chins coming. I tilt my head. I get three chins coming at you.
You pretend like you're going to sneeze?
You can cough a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it never fails.
Really?
Yeah. And because nobody is sitting in that seat. And the only time it may malfunction is if the flight happens to be actually full.
Right.
But it's rarely full.
Well, I have a buddy of mine. He and I used to, we'd get on the airplane and they'd tell you it's a full flight.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd always say I'd always sit on the edge. My buddy Bob would sit over on the window. And I would find, you know, whenever a small female came through, I'd say, listen, we don't talk. We'll buy your drinks if you'll sit here.
Oh.
And, you know, usually women think, well, I don't want to drink, but I'll sit with you guys, you know, and it's great because now we got this little 110-pound little thing sitting between these two massive mammals.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have to worry about my legs touching some other dude's legs and they feeling the body heat coming off of somebody who's incredibly too large, you know?
Yeah, it could make for an uncomfortable few hours. What is that? That's a 3-hour flight to Vegas, probably.
I think it is. I mean, we leave at 8:30 and you get in at 10:10. So
right.
What is it? Is that 2 hours behind
it
us?
It is.
So, yeah.
Four hours or three and a half.
Three and a half. No,
well,
I think it's quicker coming home.
Yeah, and they tell you, they accommodate, you know, they want to be
right
on time. So they pad in a bunch of whatever.
Deliveries.
Yeah. Well, have a good trip, brother.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the Sphere. I'm going to tell everybody about it on Friday. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to go Google it. It's really, really a cool place.
It's a big ball.
Yeah, it's expected that its success level, if it continues at the trajectory they're at, they have plans to put one in London and in New York City.
Wow.
It could be the new way that concerts are performed, et cetera. And,
how's it configured on the inside?
I don't know, buddy. I'm going.
I wonder if there's like seats all around.
No, you're all on one side, and it's a very steep incline, if you will. But you're all on one side looking down and up. I may even FaceTime with you from there just so you can see what it
looks
like.
Well, they probably won't let you take pictures inside.
You don't think?
Well, they kick you out.
How are they going to do that?
You'd be like Lauren Boebert.
18,000 people. let me just tell you right now, I'm going to be jumping up and down, but I ain't going to be doing anything else watching you two. Lauren Boebert. Man,
yes.
She had some fun at the theater, huh?
Apparently, it was quite the evening.
Yeah.
Well, we need to step aside, Michael.
Okay, yeah.
When we come back, well, we're going to talk a little music. It's a famous birthday today, Columbus Day. That's next
by the way,
on KMOX.
This is an Octoon Baby song, too.
Octoon.
Octoon
Baby.
Hey, now.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Well, you know who wrote that song? That'd be John Lennon. Today would have been his 83rd birthday.
Wow.
He was killed, of course, in November of, no, December of...
1980, wasn't it?
Yeah. And well, during the Monday Night Football game as well night. Mm-hmm. So here we are on his 83rd birthday.
He was living at the Dakota.
Yeah, he was living at the Dakota right there in New York City. He's celebrating the birthday of my wonderful friend and collaborator, John Lennon. Paul McCartney wrote morning at 81 and put a black and white photo of the two of them on stage together. Boy, those guys, what a run they had. And you think of how quickly they did it. You know, there's not much content in there, what they created, but what they created changed the world. I mean, we were making fun of Taylor Swift the other day, but I don't think you get any bigger than the Beatles. It's when you talk about the Beatles, you're talking about Mozart. You're talking about Beethoven. They're up there with them.
Well, they certainly.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
Yeah. This is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
My single friend is leaving town. Hard to believe.
I'm headed to Vegas.
You're going to Vegas.
I am.
Michael Kelly is going, and you're departing...
tomorrow morning, 8:30.
8:30.
Non-stop flight on Southwest Airlines.
Right straight into Las Vegas International.
Right into McCarran Airport.
McCarran. Named after...
I don't know.
McCarran.
Yeah, that was named after McCarran. Yeah. But I don't know what his role was in Vegas, why they named it after him.
Well, he was a big aviation pioneer there.
You've never been to Vegas?
Never been to Vegas.
PJ, you ever been to Vegas?
Never been.
So I've probably been to Vegas. Well, during the presidential campaign, I was there a bunch. So I've seen Vegas, you know? Mm-hmm. I've not been
there. You've seen every place. Are you, what are you
I
talking
really
about?
Have, yeah. So I'm going out to Las Vegas, and I'm going to a new thing called the Sphere.
Now, you're going to the Sphere.
You've heard of the Sphere.
You are going to the Sphere.
Yes. Have you heard about the Sphere?
I've heard about this. It's a big ball.
Yeah, so the Sphere is a two-point... I want to give it this way. It cost $2.3 billion to build.
A $2 billion sphere.
Yeah. It is an 18,000-seat stadium.
Okay.
It goes almost 400 feet in the air.
400 feet in the air.
You're familiar with the Epcot ball?
I am.
From the outside, it looks like the Epcot ball, terms of it.
Yeah.
But it's all movie screen, or it's all digital screens on the outside. So they can make the sphere look like the Earth. They can make the sphere look like an emoji, like a yellow-faced, you know, smiley
anything
face.
That's round.
Anything. Well, it doesn't even have to be round. Tonight, Monday Night Football is happening in Las Vegas, and they put the Monday Night Football logo on the sphere.
Well, which is round.
But it's Madison Square Garden out of New York City's who built it, and they just opened it.
Yeah.
And for the first 3 months, the group that's opening it is U2.
Every day.
Yeah, I think they do it 3 times a week.
But they're the only show at the Sphere.
Only show at the Sphere from October till almost Christmas time.
Wow.
U2's going to be there. They're playing their Octoon Baby album, all that, plus other songs.
Octoon.
Yeah, it was a 1992 release.
Is it Octoon?
Well, no, it's Octoon Baby. That's what everybody calls it. Now, you may feel differently, but they call it Octoon.
A-U, right? A-U-C-H-T-U-N-G?
Octoon Baby, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, are you going to give us a... Well, hold on, Mr. Interpreter.
Well, it's Octoon.
Okay, well, I'll try that tomorrow in front of all the U2 fans. Spit on them like you just did all over the...
Achtung.
There it is.
Hello, Achtung.
Thank you.
Achtung.
Thank you.
So I said it like an American would. Octoon Baby.
Thank you. I'm Matt Pajeski. He's the best that ever lived.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going out there to the Sphere. I'm going to see you too.
You too.
Yeah.
At the Sphere.
I'm talking to two people who can't fully appreciate this.
Oh, no, I do.
No, you don't. You're over here tooling on me.
I'm just telling you how this pronounced. What's that word again in RPG?
Well, I lost it.
It's Octoon Baby.
Yeah, right.
Octoon Baby.
You're close. Yeah.
Well, that's what they call it.
So they're doing that album. And all the great songs are on that album.
Well,
you got
one, but we're not the same.
We're not the same. You got that's on there. You got
everything's on there. Zoo Station. Listen, it's what sent them into another stratosphere. But I'm so excited to be going.
Still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Right.
It's on that album.
Opening night. Listen to who was there.
Who?
Paul McCartney was
there. Paul McCartney.
Tom Brady was there.
Tom Brady.
Shaquille O'Neal was there.
Now, does he have to buy two seats?
I would think.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen that man's shoe?
I'm not.
So I have a client here in town. I go to his office.
Yeah.
And in the table in his office that we sit and have our conversations, he's got a Shaquille O'Neal shoe sitting on the table. It's in a little glass box.
I would hope so.
It's signed by Shaquille
O'Neal.
Wouldn't
want to be sniffing on that thing.
No, well, I don't think it was ever worn by
him. Oh, he didn't wear the shoe.
It was signed on
him. He signed the shoe, but didn't wear the shoe.
John, I'm telling you, it's bigger than my arm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bigger than my arm.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how large this man's foot is.
Wow.
And it just makes you wonder, like, you know, so many things about him. Well, how did he ever get shoes? Like when he was growing up, do you think they had to sew special shoes?
Oh, probably.
I mean, he's Shaquille O'Neal now.
It's like Robert Wadlow.
Huh? The guy over in Alton?
Yes.
Yeah. How tall did he wind up being?
8'11".
Is that right?
Yeah. You knew about Robert Wadlow, didn't you, PJ?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Have you ever been over to his museum have here?
I'm not.
No. How do you know so much about Robert Wadlow?
Well, he's in that book.
Would he have been living the same time that your ragtime guy?
No. He was much more contemporary. I want to say Wadlow was around in the 40s and 50s.
Died in 1940.
1940, there you go.
Yeah. He was the world's tallest man.
He was.
From Alton, Illinois.
The Alton Giant.
I don't know that the Alton Giant.
It's what they called him.
I don't think that his shoe was as big as
I think it was
Shaquille O'Neal. Let's find out whose shoe was bigger, Shaquille O'Neal
or it's Robert Wadlow.
I don't know that that's
the
case.
It was a size 23 and a half, I think.
Well, I think that's what Shaquille made.
No, he's an 18. No.
Shaquille O'Neal is not. I'm a 13.
You're a 13?
I'm a 13. There's here we go.
All right, Shaquille O'Neal's foots or his shoe size, 22.
22. Uh-huh.
All right. Robert Wadlow's shoe size, 37.
37, thank you.
Oh, my gosh, that's a ski.
Yeah, no, it's big.
I mean, literally, you could put babies inside of that. I looked at this shoe of Shaquille O'Neal sitting on this table, and you literally could have put in a newborn inside of this shoe.
But why would you do that?
No, I'm just trying to give you some scope of size. Right. I was trying to give you some scope of size.
All of this is to say he's probably buying two seats at the Sphere.
You think he is?
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
I know Orlando Pace.
I don't even think people care about the Sphere.
Orlando Pace used to buy a whole row on Southwest.
Did he?
Yeah, because, you know, I was flying to Columbus, Ohio and back every week.
Uh-huh.
And Orlando Pace, you know, is from Columbus, Ohio, and of course, St. Louis. Yeah, uh-huh. He played for the Ohio State University. It was first-round draft choice by the St. Louis Rams. So he was often on my flight. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy. But he would buy the whole row.
And then what, throw his leg out over the
or just
the
do
other
whatever he
seats?
Wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Now, on Southwest, did he have to be 8'25", 26, and 27 to be able to say, these are my seats?
Yeah. Well, no, he bought three seats.
Yeah, but who was going to argue with him? Be like, hey, sir, I'm going to sit there. And by the way, who would want to sit next to him? Because on Southwest, you get stuffed in. No, it has nothing to do with him. He's a large man. I'm a large man.
Yeah.
Not nearly as large as him. But,
right.
I mean, we sit there, Pajeski couldn't even fit between us.
No. But, I mean, I'd take the aisle seat if he wants the window in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'd have a lovely chat with the guy.
Really?
But he bought three tickets, and that's how
good
he
for
flew.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought about that. I would be interested in how that works. So, because, I'm on Southwest tomorrow.
Right.
I paid the early bird fee. Do you pay the early bird fee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be in the C group coming size.
No.
You don't get as many dirty looks of doing anything in your life than walking on that plane at the end of the line being a big guy.
Now, let me ask.
I mean, people are looking at you like, death in their eyes.
Right. But here's where I have self-esteem issues on Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this ever happens to you. They tell you at the very beginning, you and I pay the early bird, so we're getting on early, right?
Yep,
so I'm usually in that first 10 to 15 rows.
First 4 or 5.
Yeah, I like to be right up front, because then I get off and I just roll.
You're done, yeah.
But so there you are, you're getting it. They announce it's going to be a full flight, so they're going to be. So now you're getting down to those last 20 or so people coming in.
Yeah.
I always want the pretty girl or, the real small person.
Sure.
And when they kind of look at me and move on to go to the back of the bus.
Well, you're playing it wrong, Michael.
Okay. How
do I know? So the flight's never actually full.
Okay.
They tell you it's full.
Oh, it's a lie.
They lie to you.
Okay.
There's always going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 open seats.
Really?
But they tell you it's full, so they want people to sit down as quickly as possible when they get on.
Wow.
So if you're in one of the front rows, you have to either be very fortunate on your seatmate recruitment.
Okay.
You're putting the move on, whatever you're doing.
Well, I try.
I can't do
it. I wink or I smile or
you're large and I'm large.
Yeah, we're both large.
So what I do
uh-huh.
is I find the fattest person I can that's sitting on the window.
Uh-huh.
And I sit down on the aisle, and then as that plane is loading up,
uh-huh,
I turn into a puffer fish.
You swallow more air?
I just get bigger and bigger and
bigger.
You throw
those legs open?
I get at least three chins coming. I tilt my head. I get three chins coming at you.
You pretend like you're going to sneeze?
You can cough a little.
Yeah.
And it never fails.
Really?
Yeah. And because nobody is sitting in that seat. And the only time it may malfunction is if the flight happens to be actually full.
Right.
But it's rarely full.
Well, I have a buddy of mine. He and I used to, we'd get on the airplane, and they'd tell you it's a full flight.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd always say I'd always sit on the edge. My buddy Bob would sit over on the window. And I would find, you know, whenever a small female came through, I'd say, listen, we don't talk. We'll buy your drinks if you'll sit here.
Oh.
And, you know, usually women think, well, I don't want to drink, but I'll sit with you guys, you know, and it's great because now we got this little 110-pound little thing sitting between these two massive mammals.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have to worry about my legs touching some other dude's legs and they feeling the body heat coming off of somebody who's incredibly too large, you know?
Yeah, it could make for an uncomfortable few hours. What is that? That's a 3-hour flight to Vegas, probably.
I think it is. I mean, we leave at 8:30 and you get in at 10:10. So right. What is it? Is that 2 hours behind
it
us?
It is.
So, yeah.
Four hours or three and a half.
Three and a half. No, I think it's quicker coming home.
Yeah, and they tell you, they accommodate, you know, they want to be on time. So they pad in
on
a bunch time of whatever.
Deliveries.
Yeah. Well, have a good trip, brother.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the Sphere. I'm going to tell everybody about it on Friday. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to go Google it. It's really, really a cool place.
It's a big ball.
Yeah, it's expected that its success level, if it continues at the trajectory they're at, they have plans to put one in London and in New York City.
Wow.
It could be the new way that concerts are performed, et cetera. And,
how's it configured on the inside?
I don't know, buddy. I'm going.
I wonder if there's like seats all around in the
ball. No, you're all on one side, and it's a very steep incline, if you will. But you're all on one side looking down and up. I may even FaceTime with you from there just so you can see what it looks like.
Well, they probably won't let you take pictures inside.
You don't think?
Well, they kick you out.
How are they going to do that?
You'd be like Lauren Boebert.
18,000 people. Let me just tell you right now, I'm going to be jumping up and down, but I ain't going to be doing anything else watching you two. Lauren Boebert. Man, yes. She had some fun at the theater, huh?
Apparently, it was quite the evening. Yeah. Well, we need to step aside, Michael.
Okay, yeah.
When we come back, well, we're going to talk a little music. It's a famous birthday today, Columbus Day. That's next on KMOX.
This is an Octoon Baby song, too.
Octoon.
Octoon.
Octoon Baby.
Hey, now.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Well, you know who wrote that song? That'd be John Lennon. Today would have been his 83rd birthday.
Wow.
He was killed, of course, in December of...
1980, wasn't it?
Yeah. And during the Monday Night Football game as well night. Mm-hmm. So here we are on his 83rd birthday.
He was living at the Dakota.
Yeah, he was living at the Dakota right there in New York City. He's celebrating the birthday of my wonderful friend and collaborator, John Lennon. Paul McCartney wrote morning at 81 and put a black and white photo of the two of them on stage together. Boy, those guys, what a run they had. And you think of how quickly they did it. You know, there's not much content in there, what they created, but what they created changed the world. I mean, we were making fun of Taylor Swift the other day, but I don't think you get any bigger than the Beatles. It's when you talk about the Beatles, you're talking about Mozart. You're talking about Beethoven. They're up there with them.
Well, they certainly transformed rock and roll, no question about it. Then their music evolved, even in the short span they had together. What was it, 3-4 years together, something like that? And their music definitely, I mean, it was kind of poppy early on.
Right.
You know, kind of
I
pop music.
Hold your hand.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, it got
trippy.
Much more so. Yeah. And I think more inventive musically as well, you know, because the pop song stuff is, you know, that's what sold albums back in the day. So they really did kind of have this evolution as artists that, that many bands have, but many bands that last a lot longer than the Beatles did. And then you look at the phenomenal careers they went on to have. Yeah. Even George Harrison produced some great music.
Totally.
In his post-Beatle era. I mean, the one guy that really, probably the weak link musically in that band was Ringo Starr.
Right.
The drummer. And I guess they let him sing a couple of songs. Just
well, that's how much drugs they were on. They even let Ringo sing.
Yeah.
So on December the 8th, 1980, we all know that he was shot at the age of 40 outside the Dakota apartment there in New York City. He left behind two sons, Julian Lennon at 60 and Sean Lennon at 48.
Yeah, Julian went on to have a fairly successful, substantial music career.
And then there's also his wife, Yoko Ono, who I think still creates music to this day. You're a fan of Yoko music, Yoko aren't Ono. You?
Have you ever heard any Yoko Ono, man?
She was quite the singer.
That's some stuff, man. Yeah, I mean, you got to be in just the right.
So I gather you liked the Beatles, but they weren't your favorite.
Because
the Beatles really, from my youth, was what it meant for me. I was obsessed with them.
Sure, and I mean, and they did some interesting things. I like the more, you know, the progressive bands that actually were bending the contours of the music and exploding through a lot of the strictures of pop music, and bands like Yes, and we heard a little Supertramp earlier. Those progressive Rush, certainly a band that means a lot to me.
What about the Who and
yeah, and they're still a little popish.
Really?
For me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, hard rock. You know, fine. I have nothing wrong. You know, no ill will towards hard rock. But I like the even Kansas. Some of Kansas's earlier music was really inventive.
Yeah, Matt, you're an old soul. You keep nodding at all these bands.
Yeah, this is my wheelhouse
Hancock
of music.
Really?
I like the old prog stuff.
Yeah.
Say it one more time. What was the word you used?
Prog, like progressive rock.
Yeah, prog rock, buddy.
I've never heard of that.
You never heard of prog rock?
Prog?
Prog.
No, I've never heard of prog rock.
Not Austria. Prog, as in progressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you're going to teach me how to say that, too? Go ahead. I want to hear this one.
No, I'm just saying. Who else is out there? There were some very little-known bands that really produced some great music. There's a band called Nectar.
Remember the Future?
Oh, what an album that was.
You're a young man. You're in your 20s. Where did you get turned on to all this music?
My dad was into all that stuff, and he raised me on all that great music. And
it is great music.
It just stuck with me.
It is great.
Are you both vinyl guys? Are you into the vinyl?
I got vinyl.
I got a whole bunch of them, yeah.
Really? Are you going to vinyl shops and buying stuff?
Not as much. I don't use my record player as much, but right. I've got probably 100 or 150 at home.
Yeah, and mine are in a box, and the guy came to install, but we changed from cable to AT&T for my internet.
Right.
So it just so happens he had to drill a hole right behind my box of records.
Uh-huh.
And he says, can you move this for me? I said, oh, sure, no problem. I got this box. It's full of records.
Yeah.
Thing must weigh 200 pounds.
Do you have a player?
Yeah.
You ought to pull them out.
Well, I have pulled them out now.
That's like the fashionable thing to happen
so
right now.
So I'm trying to move this darn box of records, and so they're just sitting in the middle of the floor now.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you got in there? You got any Beatles?
No. I've got the entire collection of Yes.
Uh-huh.
And all of the solo albums, Matt. I mean, it's impressive. And then I've got the Library of Congress recordings of Jelly Roll Morton from 1941.
What would Jelly Roll Morton have sang?
Oh, well, a lot of Mr. Jelly Lord.
Of course.
He's got the Tiger Rag on
Why'd
there.
You this is all ragtime.
Well, Jelly Roll really was kind of the bridge between ragtime and jazz.
Okay.
His style pianist. He claims to have been the inventor of jazz. He was a braggart.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I like him.
Yeah.
But he sat down and recorded hours and hours and interviewed and played the piano in 1941 for the Library of Congress, and I bought that entire collection.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Jelly Roll might have been a large man.
No.
His name was Jelly Roll, and he was, Mr. Jelly Roll, 110 pounds he was, soaking wet?
Yeah, he was a thin guy. Really? Very, very flashy.
I picture some B.B. King-looking right?
No, Jelly Roll Morton. He had his incisor was a pure diamond in his mouth, and he wore diamond pins, and he would, you know, this was in the 1900s. He was making $100 a night in tips.
Really?
Claims to have been the greatest pianist to ever live.
Huh.
And he was good.
Quite Trumpian, this guy.
Yeah, he was something.
With his proclamations.
Jelly Roll Morton was something else, and really great music back in the day. He had a band.
Well,
King Porter Stomp, one of the classics.
This has come to the end of the road for Hancock and Kelly late night. Hey, I'll be back on Friday morning with John Hancock.
And we'll hear all about the Sphere.
Tell you about the trip to the Sphere. Don't forget you can see us Sunday on Fox 2 as well. It's Hancock Kelly late night. Have a good night and a good week, everybody.
Remember the future. Nectar, this was what, 1973-ish probably? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a great album. Best of Glover is next. Thanks for listening. Camel X.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Well, you know who wrote that song? That'd be John Lennon. Today would have been his 83rd birthday.
Wow.
He was killed, of course, in November of, no, December of...
1980, wasn't it?
Yeah. And well, during the Monday Night Football game as of all nights. Mm-hmm. So here we are on his 83rd birthday.
He was living at the Dakota.
Yeah, he was living at the Dakota right there in New York City. He's celebrating the birthday of my wonderful friend and collaborator, John Lennon. Paul McCartney wrote morning at 81 and put a black and white photo of the two of them on stage together. Boy, those guys, what a run they had. And you think of how quickly they did it. You know, there's not much content in there, what they created, but what they created changed the world. I mean, we were making fun of Taylor Swift the other day, but I don't think you get any bigger than the Beatles. It's when you talk about the Beatles, you're talking about Mozart, you're talking about Beethoven. They're up there with them.
Well, they certainly transformed rock and roll, no question about it. Then their music evolved, even in the short span they had together. What was it, 3-4 years together, something like that? Yeah, and their music definitely, I mean, it was kind of poppy early on.
Right.
You know, kind of
I
pop
wanna
music.
Hold your hand.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, it got
trippy.
Much more so, yeah. And I think more inventive musically as well, you know, because the pop song stuff is, you know, that's what sold albums back in the day. So they really did kind of have this evolution as artists that many bands have, but many bands that last a lot longer than the Beatles did. And then you look at the phenomenal careers they went on to have. Yeah. Even George Harrison produced some great music.
Totally.
In his post-Beatle era. I mean, the one guy that really, probably the weak link musically in that band was Ringo Starr.
Right.
The drummer. Yeah, and I guess they let him sing a couple of songs. Just
well, that's how much drugs they were on. They even let Ringo sing.
Yeah.
So on December the 8th, 1980, we all know that he was shot at the age 40 outside the Dakota apartment there in New York City. He left behind two sons, Julian Lennon at 60 and Sean Lennon at 48.
Yeah, Julian went on to have a fairly successful, substantial music career.
And then there's also his wife, Yoko Ono, who I think still creates music to this day. You're a fan of Yoko music, Yoko aren't
Ono.
You?
Have you ever heard any Yoko Ono, man?
She was quite the singer.
That's some stuff, man. Yeah, I mean, you got to be in just the right.
So I gather you liked the Beatles, deafness. But they weren't your favorite.
No.
What was the? Because the Beatles really, from my youth, was what it meant for me. I was obsessed with them.
Sure, and I mean, and they did some interesting things. I liked the more, you know, the progressive bands that actually were bending the contours of the music and exploding through a lot of the strictures of pop music, and bands like Yes, and we heard a little Supertramp earlier. Those progress Rush, certainly a band that means a lot to me.
What about the Who, or what about you know, the Who and
yeah, they're still a little poppish.
Really?
For me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean hard rock. You know, fine. I have nothing wrong. You know, no ill will towards hard rock. But I like the even Kansas. Some of Kansas's earlier music was really inventive.
Yeah, Matt, you're an old soul. You keep nodding at all these bands.
Yeah, this
bands
is my wheelhouse
Hancock
of music.
Really?
I like the old prog stuff.
Yeah,
most.
Say it one more time. What was the word you used?
Prog, like progressive rock.
Yeah, prog rock, buddy.
I never heard of that.
You never heard of prog rock?
Prog?
Prog.
No, I've never heard of prog rock.
Not Austria. Prog, as in progressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you're going to teach me how to say that too? Go ahead. I want to hear this one.
No, I'm just saying. Who else is out there? There was some very little known bands that really produce some great music. There's a band called Nectar.
Remember the Future?
Oh, what an album that was. remember
where did
the future.
You, you're a young man. You're in your 20s. Where did you get turned on to all this music?
My dad was into all that stuff, and he raised me on all that great music. And
it is great music.
It just stuck with me.
It is great.
Are you both vinyl guys? Are you into the vinyl?
I got a whole bunch of them, yeah.
Really? Are you going to vinyl shops and buying stuff?
Not as much. I don't use my record player as much, but right. I've got probably 100 or 150 at home.
Yeah, and mine are in a box, and the guy came to install, but we changed from cable to AT&T for my internet.
Right.
So it just so happens he had to drill a hole right behind my box of records.
Uh-huh.
And he says, can you move this for me? I said, oh, sure, no problem. I got this box. It's full of records.
Yeah.
Thing must weigh 200 pounds.
Do you have a player?
Yeah.
You ought to pull them out.
Well, I have pulled them out now.
That's like the fashionable thing to happen
I'm trying to move this darn box of records, and so they're just sitting in the middle of the floor now.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you got in there? You got any Beatles?
No. I've got the entire collection of Yes.
Uh-huh.
And all of the solo albums, Matt. I mean, it's impressive. And then I've got the Library of Congress recordings of Jelly Roll Morton from 1941.
What would Jelly Roll Morton have sang?
Oh, well, a lot of Mr. Jelly Lord.
Of course.
He's got the Tiger Rag on
Why'd
there.
You this is all ragtime.
Well, Jelly Roll really was kind of the bridge between ragtime and jazz.
Okay.
His style pianist. He claims to have been the inventor of jazz. He was a braggart.
Uh-huh.
And I like him.
Yeah.
But he sat down and recorded hours and hours and interviewed and played the piano in 1941 for the Library of Congress, and I bought that entire collection.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Jelly Roll might have been a large man.
No.
His name was Jelly Roll, and he was, pounds of soaking wet?
Yeah, he was a thin guy. Really? Very flashy.
I picture some B.B. King-looking right?
No, Jelly Roll Morton. He had his incisor was a pure diamond in his mouth, and he wore diamond pins, and he would, this was in the 1900s. He was making $100 a night in tips.
Really?
Claims to have been the greatest pianist to ever live.
Huh.
And he was good.
Quite Trumpian, this guy.
Yeah, he was something.
With
Jelly Roll Morton. Jelly Roll Morton was something else, and really great music back in the day. He had a band.
Well,
King Porter Stomp, one of the classics.
This has come to the end of the road for Hancock and Kelly late night. Hey, I'll be back on Friday morning with John Hancock.
And we'll hear all about the Sphere.
Tell you about the trip to the Sphere. Don't forget you can see us Sunday on Fox 2 as well. It's Hancock Kelly Late Night. Have a good night and a good week, everybody.
Remember the future. Nectar. This was, 1973-ish, probably? Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's a great album. Good stuff. Best of Glover is next. Thanks for listening. Camel X.